Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit in creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Julie Ryan. She is a businesswoman, an author, a psychic medium, an entrepreneur, an inventor, a podcaster, and a medical intuitive. So I bet you've never seen that combination before. Welcome, Julie Ryan.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm a combo platter.
Yeah, wow. Now, when did you ever have this psychic? Well, can I tell them what you did? When we were having our first conversation, I had been in pain. I'd been in the emergency room. I had this back pain that was scaring me to death, and they didn't know what it was. And so I'm talking to Julie, and I was like, do you have any idea what this might be? And she's like, oh, yeah, it's your ribs. Go to the chiropractor. And I was like, okay. So I did. And the chiropractor did a scan. My back was in spasms. And within a day, it was good. And it had been bothering me for like 3 weeks. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I don't know how she knew, but we're going to talk about that today, right? That's like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay. All right. So tell us how it all began.
I learned, Hillary, how to be a medical intuitive and psychic medium. I did not have dead people chasing me as a child. If I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. So I learned how to do all of this. So I say I'm a businesswoman and an inventor who learned how to do woo-woo, and I'm a buffet of psychicness. So once we connect with spirit, we can do it all. I don't understand why you got the psychics and the pet psychics and the mediums and the past life people and the whatever. It's like, it's all spirit. It's all energy. Once you connect to it, then you can do it all. And that's what I learned how to do. And that's what I teach people how to do now.
And how did you learn how to do it?
Well, I, about 30 years ago, had a girlfriend who still have a girlfriend. My girlfriend gave me a book called Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace, who called herself a medical intuitive. And I thought, well, what the heck is that? I'd never heard that term before. And I had been involved in the hospital supply industry for quite a while at that point. I'm an inventor and former manufacturer of surgical devices sold throughout the world, many of which have been on the market for some of them close to 30 years. So I was always interested in helping people heal, but I was helping the doctors and the staff help people heal in the hospital arena. And my interest was piqued. And back then, Hillary, we didn't have the internet yet. Mm. So I went to a bookstore to see what else was available. And I found a book called Hands of Light by Barbara Brennan, PhD. Now, Dr. Brennan was a former NASA physicist who parlayed very complex quantum physics principles into understandable English for the non-scientific mind. That would be me. And wow. She was using quantum physics to help energetically heal people, or help them heal themselves, I should say. And I thought, I want to know more. So I called her school and I asked if she had anybody in my area teaching this stuff. And lo and behold, she did. And she said, yes, I have a graduate who just opened a school. And they gave me her information. I called her and then I worked with her for 6 years. Fast forward, I now teach all my techniques, which are an amalgamation of what I learned in studying with her, you know, other things throughout the 30 years I've been doing this, into a weekend course on a Saturday and Sunday. And I equate that to, we used to use carrier pigeons to deliver messages. And then we used the Wells Fargo wagon and then, you know, the U.S. Postal Service. And now we communicate instantly via our phones and our computers. Same thing, you know, the all of the techniques and everything have become more streamlined as I've done this work and I've figured out ways to make it really easy. So everybody has the ability. We're born with it. It's just a matter of developing and enhancing it. And that's what I teach.
Wow. Well, when's your next course?
It is October. It's October 24th through the 26th in Atlanta. We rent out of a hotel adjacent to the Atlanta airport with a free shuttle. And we learn how to do woo-woo for the weekend. And it's so much fun, Hillary, because a whole lot of my graduates come back. They fly in from all over the world on their dime just to volunteer to be a part of it. And you learn how to do the whole buffet of psychicness. And at the same time, we have so much fun. Mm. The food's amazing. It's a Southern garden party theme. It's really wonderful. It'll be one of the best weekends of your life if you decide to come join us.
Wow. Okay, so can they find that at your website, AskJulieRyan.com?
Correct. Yes. Okay.
So if you're interested in that weekend, which that sounds so cool, AskJulieRyan.com. Not AskJulieRyanGift.com, right? That's a different one.
AskJulieRyan.com.
Okay, I'm getting them confused. Okay, AskJulieRyan.com. The gift, you'll find out. Well, should we tell them about the gift?
Sure.
Now?
Sure.
Okay. So the book that we're going to be talking about today, or at least partially, is Julie. Can you hold it up? Because I don't have a physical hot copy.
Angelic Attendance, What Really Happens As We Transition From This Life Into the Next. And it's about how we're all surrounded by angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets. It comes with graphics showing the position of the angels and the loved ones' spirits. And it's about what happens when we're dying, because there's lots of information out there about the afterlife, Hillary. I find that there's lots of information about past lives and near-death experiences, not so much about what happens as we're dying. And that's what everybody's afraid of. Are we going to fly or are we going to fry when we die? And there's really not much information, although a year after I published Angelic Attendance, there was a university-based research project that was released showing 90% of people at the end of their lives see the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets as they're getting close to death. 90%. So perhaps...
I'm wondering, how did they know that?
Well, because they did university-based research on it. They talk to a lot of people at the end of their lives in hospice, primarily.
So and they were there at the otherwise they're dead. So they had to talk to them as they were dying.
They talked to them and they videotaped them. It's one of the biggest YouTube recordings, actually. It's a doctor named Chris Kerr, K-E-R-R, and he's head of Buffalo Hospice. He's an MD, PhD. And so they have amazing videos of people in the, you know, the last few months of their lives talking about the spirits that were in the room with them. And so for those of us that have been with a loved one at the end of their lives and we think, oh, grandma's hallucinating and it's from the morphine that they're giving her. No, she's not. She can really see her deceased mother who died 60 years ago. Her spirits in the room.
I was with my dad, but he was on so much morphine that he didn't tell us. So I don't know. Maybe he did.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Everybody does. Yeah. Wow. And you talk to any critical care provider CCU, ICU, emergency room. You talk to any hospice provider, death doulas. You talk to funeral home directors, for heaven's sakes. They have a boatload of stories that will center around, yeah, my dad kept seeing his deceased mom's spirit or his deceased horse's spirit, or my sister waited until our mother got to the hospital before she died. And the stories are just amazing. And they're just across the board similar to people from all cultures and all socioeconomic groups and all that. So funeral directors have tons of stories like that.
But the person's already dead by the time they see them, right?
No, but they're hearing it from their family members who are coming in to plan the services.
Oh, okay. Okay. Whoa. All right. So how did you get from, you took the courses, you read the book, Anatomy of the Spirit, Hands of Light. Okay. You for 6 years, you studied at that school.
Right.
And then what happened? Were you still in business during this time?
Oh, yeah. Because it was like a day a week. An evening a week is what I did in person. And so then how I got to where I'm, what I'm doing now with all my books and my 5 YouTube channels and my podcast, we release 4 shows a week and all of that is, and working with clients. I one day was with my mentor, and this was in probably about 2005 or so. And the first time I saw this phenomenon with the angels and deceased loved ones was when my own mother was dying in 2002. And then a few years later, I had seen it with many other people by that point, friends and family. And I could do an instant replay. I could tell them who was in the room, the family, all of that. So one day I'm with my mentor and she was doing a healing on me, Hillary. And when a healing's done on me, my deceased loved one's spirits line the sides of the table. And this one day, another spirit was in the room, and I can see them telepathically in my mind's eye, and this spirit of a dead pope showed up. Mm. And he had his pope hat on and his shepherd's rod and the whole nine yards. And I said, well, who are you? And he said, I'm Clement. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I've never heard of a Pope Clement. And he laughed and he said, well, I was number 6. And I said, okay, how may I help you? Kind of like, why are you here? And he said, you're supposed to teach the world what happens when somebody dies, because it's been so bastardized over the millennia and people are afraid and there's nothing to be afraid of. It's glorious. And I said, eh. And he said, really, this is what, you know, this is your kind of your mission if you choose to accept it. And I said, well, thanks, but no thanks. I'm a businesswoman and people will think I'm nuts. And he laughed and he goes, yeah, yeah, just get on with it. So I left a little while later, Hillary, and I went to my car to drive home. And I just looked him up just for kicks on my phone. Well, come to find out, this guy was in office during the Black Plague when 2/3 of Europe died. And he's best known for his prayers for the dying and his prayers for the dead. And I thought, for heaven's sakes, Ryan, you can't make that up. And so then it took another couple of years before I had the courage, the golden ovary courage. You know, guys have brass balls, girls have golden ovaries. God. And I had the courage to release what I was seeing. And really the catalyst for that was, I was in church one Sunday and I was sitting between my husband and my son, and the priest from the altar said, wouldn't it be great if somebody could tell us if we're really surrounded by angels and our loved ones' spirits and they escort us to heaven? And I'm getting elbowed by my husband and my son. And so I said, God, really, from the pulpit, you're giving me grief about this? Seriously? Wow. And I sold my surgical device company in 2015, and that gave me the time to be able to crank up Ask Julie Ryan. And it's been the most fun thing I've ever done. Out of 9 companies, I've founded 9 companies in 5 industries, And people say, well, what are your goals? And I'll say, I don't know. I don't have any. And they say, well, what do you mean you don't have any? You're a business. Well, I just go where I'm led. You know, Spirit, Pope Clement and other, and God and the Holy Spirit and all of them tell me stuff to do. And then if it makes sense, I do it. It's been the most fun thing I've ever done.
Now, did you ever doubt what you were hearing or think, oh, this is crazy? Or how do I know this is real?
Oh, yeah. Early on. Absolutely. Yeah.
When did you get so confident that it's like, oh, your ribs, like, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
when
practice, you know, those neural pathways get laid, whether we're learning to shoot a basketball through the hoop or whether we're doing woo woo or whether we're learning how to knit, we lay new neural pathways in our brain. And it comes with practice and validation. Once the information I'm receiving was validated, and it was validated over time, then it was like, okay. And then that's part of what I've put together in all my trainings, is it's that first thing that comes into your head instantly, as fast as you can snap your fingers or before. Because if you think about it for a while, that's going to be your brain talking to you. And so there are definitely techniques that I've realized that I teach of how to communicate with spirit. And when I was looking at your body, you said, oh my God, my back's killing me. Can you scan me? And I'm like a human MRI. I connected into you energetically and then shot energy through you. And it's like I'm looking at an X-ray or a CT scan or an MRI, and I could see what was going on with your back, helped with an energetic healing of spirit working through me and with me to help you heal yourself, because nobody ever heals anybody else, ever. But the healing was done on the energetic level. Then your spirit integrated it into your body. And I said, go find a chiropractor, and that'll be the missing piece of the healing equation. It's done on the energetic level. Let's help it on the human level. You did. And it worked pretty quickly. It sounds like within 24 hours for you.
And when you look, what do you actually see? Like, do you see the bones and stuff, or you just see what you do?
Yeah. Yeah. I see in my mind's eye broken bones, torn ligaments, viral infections, bacterial infections, cancer, things like that. And then, as I mentioned, it's spirit works through me and with me to help with a healing, an energetic healing that is done on the energetic level, and then it integrates into your body. And that can happen instantly. It can take days, weeks, months, may need complementary care, like what I suggested for you, go see a chiropractor. And then that's all part of the healing equation. Back to, nobody ever heals anybody else. If you think about it, Hillary, if you have a big cut in your leg, on your leg, and you go to the emergency room, they're going to stitch it up for you, but the doctor doesn't make your skin grow back. You make your own skin grow back. And that's how all healing works. Nobody ever heals anybody else, ever. And people, when they come to me for help, and that's really most of the work that I do, it's probably a good 85 to 90% of the work that I do is healing. And most of my clients will come to me because they've been to multiple doctors and gotten multiple diagnoses and different treatment suggestions, and they still have the same symptoms. And oftentimes I can pick up what they're missing because they're clouded based on their frame of reference, their training. You know, you do surgery on it, you do a prescription, or you do therapy, kind of a thing. And that, again, is part of the healing equation. But then the healings are interesting because they can integrate into somebody's body instantly, like I said, or take days, weeks, months, need complementary care, like you going to see the chiropractor, that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, it's always the person's spirit's prerogative to utilize a healing in a way that best facilitates whatever's that person's exploring in this lifetime. So it's really fascinating to be able to see the healings. And that's what makes it so fun for me as an inventor and entrepreneur, because I get to see new healings from spirit all the time. And my clients, I'll say, you may hear me say, oh, cool, I haven't seen this before. And then it'll be part of my healing repertoire, my bag of tricks, right, that I'll see used with other clients.
So can you actually see the healing being done?
Oh, yeah. And I describe it to my client or the person who calls into my show. We do a live show every Thursday night at 8 Eastern, and people call in from all over the world. And we can scan them medically, talk to your dead grandma, scan your cat, you know, do a past life thing, tell how close to death somebody is.
Oh my
God. It's really fun. It's a blast.
You can do it just on the phone. Like somebody calls in and you can.
Yeah. I could scan you if you were in a galaxy far, far away. Doesn't matter. I'll find you. It's all energy.
That's so amazing. But and you learned that. You weren't born with it. It wasn't a special thing. Wow.
Yeah. And everybody has the ability when they're born. Think about intuitive ability. We've all had a situation in our lives at some point where we think of somebody and we either get a phone call from them or an email or a text, or we run into them and we say, oh my gosh, you've been on my mind, or I was just thinking of you this morning and here you are. Well, that's not a coincidence. That's your intuitive ability at play. We've all experienced that, or we have a gut feeling about something and we don't follow it. And then most of the time we regret it when we don't.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. We all have the ability. Little children are very good at this until they start shutting it down when the grown-ups in their lives say, oh, that, honey, that's just your imagination. That's right. Not real. And they shut it down. So just it's just a matter of enhancing and developing it.
Wow. And does it ever not work or not? Can you ever not see it? Like, you just can always see? That's amazing. It's amazing.
Wow, but I've done it.
Like for, seems like.
But I've done it. Well, but I've done it for decades. So, you know, again, I'm really good at it because I probably scan 3,000 people a year. And so it's just like, you know, Kobe Bryant used to be able to throw a basketball and get it in the hoop most of the time, just because he'd done it so many kabillions of times. And
but
you know,
it seems like X-ray vision. Like
it is.
Like, could I practice seeing through this wall in front of me?
Yeah, yeah. It's called remote hearing. I teach that too. Oh yeah. It's part of the work that we do, because my our dear friend of ours had surgery last week, and I can remote view somebody when they're in the operating room. I can read the anesthesia equipment real time. I can tell you how many surgeons are working on the patient. I can tell you their guardian angels over the head of anesthesia. I can tell you how many spirits are in the room. I can tell you at what phase of the surgery they're in. They're getting ready to close. No, they've just started. Whatever. So I was reporting to the wife of the patient.
Wow. Now, what if you could see something going wrong? Is there anything you can do?
Well, send healing.
Oh, okay.
To the person. But again, it's always that person's spirit's prerogative, what they do with that healing. And it's interesting that I've noted over the years that when somebody is having a lot of prayer said for them, mm-hmm. there are more spirits in the operating room.
Wow.
And I'll say to the family, well, is your husband on a prayer chain? And they'll say, yeah, four. I'll say, okay, I can tell, because that operating room is really crowded. Mm-hmm. And back in the day when I was actually in surgeries for work, developing products, testing prototypes, things like that, I could see that real time in my mind's eye, but I don't need to be there. I would say 99.9% of the work I do is remote.
Wow. It's mind blowing, right? I guess it's normal for you, but like for me, I'm like,
yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
It is. Wow.
Yeah. Woo. Well, and sometimes I speak at doctor organizations and to interns and medical students and others, and they're not jaded because they haven't been taught that it's not possible. And there's so much research coming out to validate and corroborate the information that we're conveying. And I've had many doctors over the years call me and say, okay, how are you doing this? How did this new kidney get generated energetically and it's showing up on the scans? Or how did you know that the cancer had metastasized to the lungs when it's not showing up on the PET scan yet? And I can see it months sometimes in advance. And it's just another form of healing that is, I believe, has been around since the beginning of time. And as we've gotten more well-educated and we are more proof-based and we have adopted the allopathic only form of medicine here in the West, I mean, certainly Chinese medicine and the different cultures, their medicine's been around for millennia. The indigenous cultures medicine, the druids, the all those women that were burned at the stake that were witches, they were all healers. And it was the well-educated, well-to-do men that were burning them because they wanted people to adopt the allopathic part of medicine. So they made it into something bad.
What does the allopathic mean? I've heard that word.
Medicine as we know it.
Oh, okay. Okay. It sounded more homeopathic, but it's not, right?
No. Yeah, right.
Wow. Now, do other people, are they able to see inside the body like you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have hundreds of graduates from, I believe, 15 countries so far around the world. The only prerequisite to take my class is you got to speak English because I don't speak any other languages. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the Silva method?
I have not.
You have not. Okay. Mm-mm. Because that, it was sort of like you were doing body scans. You were going into stuff but you had to do a lot of case studies, which I never did. But there was a guy, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, and he's passed it on. Yeah, it's interesting. But it's not exactly the same, but it's, you know, you're looking into metals and you're doing scans of bodies. But I don't know how far people got. You know what I mean?
Well, most people have heard of Reiki.
Yeah.
And Reiki is Japanese energy healing. Ancient Chinese medicine is energy healing. And it's utilizing energy to help the person heal themselves. And so I just take it further because we can detect more specifically what's going on in what body parts instead of, okay, there's an energy block here. A la Eastern medicine, let's clear the block and that's going to help the body heal. That happens in the work that I do and I teach, but we're specifically saying, okay, you got a hairline fracture in your, you know, whatever, and I'm watching it get healed. And then they go get an x-ray and guess what? They have a hairline fracture exactly where I've told them the fracture is. And I'll say, you need to go get seen. And they do.
But when you see it, but aren't you healing it?
Energetically. But remember, the person may need complementary care from the human side as part of the healing equation. So it's all part of them healing their body. It's already healed on the energetic level. They decide how, when, all those parameters of how to integrate that energy healing. And then they may need some complementary care from the human side.
So, okay, one side is energetic and the human side is the physical?
Yeah, absolutely. Things that we can do to help our bodies heal, right?
Like what? Like if you heal the fracture, but they could still see it. They could still see it on the X-ray, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So they may get a cast on their arm. So they may
still need the cast.
They may have a sling, but they're most of the time, if they're having energy healing in addition to that, to our Western medicine as we know it, then they'll heal faster, more completely. And it's just a sped up version of the healing process. Sometimes they heal instantly. By the time they go get an X-ray, that fracture isn't showing anymore. But again, that's all predicated on how they want to integrate the healing.
Now, is it them themselves or their spirits?
Their spirit.
Now, do we all have a main spirit guide?
We do.
We have many,
and we usually have a main spirit guide who's not necessarily with us throughout all of our life and or lives, but is with us based on what we've got going on and what we're interested in at the moment. Furthermore, it's been my experience that we have the same guardian angel throughout all of our lifetimes and in between lifetimes. So that's the constant, is the guardian angel.
Oh, okay.
And then the spirit guides come in and out based on what we're exploring and wanting to experience at different parts of our lives.
Now, is this guardian angel only ours? Or does it have other people?
I just heard from spirit in my head that no, they're not only just ours, and yes, they have other people.
But if we need them, they're there. It's on. Is it like?
Well, they're with us constantly, and they can be. If you go back to the Judeo-Christian concept that we're made in the image and likeness of God, God is source, spirit, energy. Most of us have been raised to think, oh, God looks like some old man. He looks like Dumbledore, right. You know, from Harry Potter movies, or Gandalf from the Lord of the Rings movie. Old man, white hair, white beard, long white hair, that kind of thing. It's been my experience, Hillary, that God is energy. And energy, if God can be everywhere all at the same time, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, I believe it's in spirit form. So we can be multiple places at the same time. And so can our loved ones in spirit and our angels and our spirit guides and others. So when we lose a loved one, that loved one is with all of us. Let's say a grandfather dies and he has 50 grandchildren. He's with all those grandchildren and all of his children and all of his other loved ones all at the same time. Hard for us to understand from our human perspective. Certainly that's what I've been told bazillions of times by spirit.
Wow. All right. We have to take our commercial break and we'll be right back. After a word from our sponsors. Be right back. Hold that thought.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teacher's plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
Hey, it's Hillary from the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Life can be messy, raw, and real. And sometimes we're afraid to feel vulnerable. We're afraid to be that real self. Well, that's exactly what the Getting Real with Hillary Show and Getting Real movement is all about. Being our true selves. Every week, I bring you stories of transformation, authenticity, and hope. People getting real with their struggles, their faith, and their breakthroughs. So don't miss a thing. Subscribe to my weekly newsletter today. You'll get stories, links to everything new, and how to create a life you love every week directly to your inbox. You can also find my books on Amazon, my courageous and riveting memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast, in case you feel stuck in your life and want to get inspired. How I came out about my no sex life and my marriage, and my second book, Real Talk. That one will get you speaking up in ways you've been too afraid to do so, and really creating amazing freedom. And my third book, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun, the name is called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. Find links to everything and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Getting Real with Hillary, and you'll find the links in the header. So visit, and you can also visit gettingrealwithhillary.com, because the real you is worth it and wants to come out. And thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. If you want to bring social emotional learning to your kids, your educators, make learning fun, have kids connect to their heart, please go to KikoriApp.com and check them out. It can really change their lives. And thank you to our other sponsors. We have Jerry Dale, we have Ed Hagem, we have me, and we will have some others probably by the time this airs, which I will thank in subsequent episodes. And welcome back, Julie. All right. Okay. So we have multiple. So, wow. Yeah. I guess we can't think about it with our human brains. It just doesn't make sense. Right.
Right. And when I go into kind of what I feel like Scooby-Doo, like, huh? What?
Yeah.
I go to a place, Hillary, where I think, is it feasible? Yes. Do I understand it? No. Will I understand it when I go back to heaven, when I'm done living this lifetime? Yes. And that appeases me in the short run.
Wow. So, okay. So when you heard the pulpit, the guy on the pulpit saying the thing about, wouldn't it be nice if we knew what happened after that? How did you get this going?
Well, I had already seen several people at the end of their lives, again, in my mind's eye, family and friends, and I developed what I call the 12 phases of transition. Mm. And that's a sequence of events that spirits and deceased loved ones, spirits and angels and pet spirits all surround the dying person. And that configuration changes as the dying person is getting closer to their departure. And so I coined it the 12 phases of transition. It's important to remember that everybody goes through the 12 phases, regardless of if they die instantly, like in the case of a homicide or suicide, or whether they die over days, weeks, months, years, of our prolonged illness, perhaps, because time doesn't exist in the spirit world. Time's a human creation. Mm. Again, one of those things like, well, if somebody dies instantly versus somebody that's dying over 3 years, how can the 12 phases unfold? Because time doesn't exist in the spirit world. Can all happen instantly in a nanosecond, or it can happen over different times. So what happens is the spirit exits through the top of the body and it holds on. It looks like a speech bubble that you'd see in a cartoon, what the character is thinking or saying. And then the dying person's closest maternal spirit is the first one that arrives. If I was dying, my mother would be there because my mother's deceased. If she was still alive, it would be my maternal grandmother. She was still alive, it would be her mother. It's always on the maternal side, which I find really interesting. And that surprised me, Hillary, because I thought maybe God has like a departure department in heaven. And when somebody's getting ready to die, you know, just dispatches an angel or something to come run the show. That's not been my experience. It's always the closest feminine spirit. And if somebody's...
Do you wonder, you probably don't know this, but how do they know?
Because they're spirits. They know what's going on. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. And it's interesting also that if somebody's adopted, it's the mom that raised them.
Yeah.
The birth mom's spirit is there, but it's the mom that raised them who's the one that's running the show from the spirit world. And then the paternal spirit closest to
the night. What if they didn't have a mother? Like,
well, they were born, they had a mother at some point.
But if they were, let's say, right, but the birth mothers have the picture, they go to foster care, boom, 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 different people. Who would come then?
The one who was the most nurturing and the one they spent the most time with. Okay. Yeah.
So there'll be someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm feeling bad for these people already, right?
Right. Right. Wow. And that could be maybe somebody in an orphanage, maybe a nun.
Yeah.
You know, who showed some compassion and kindness to an orphan, or perhaps another worker who worked in an orphanage and showed some care and compassion.
The person who was caring, like caring. Yeah.
Always a female, though.
Wow.
Always
the mother. We're starting to say something about that. That you find that interesting.
I find that fascinating. And then I went back to my studies about Kabbalah, which is ancient Jewish mysticism. And in the Jewish religion, a child is not considered Jewish unless the mother who births them is Jewish.
Right.
And so there's something there that has been around for millennia with the mother's spirit. And I find that fascinating. So then the mother spirit is the one that runs the show from the spirit world, calls in the angels, calls in the spirits of other deceased loved ones and pets. And they continue to arrive in huge numbers as the person is approaching death. And I call them the Welcome to Heaven Committee.
Can you show a page from your book? Because I don't have it physically, just so that people can visualize this. Because when I saw the chart, I was like, oh, my God. And it's always the same, roughly.
Yeah, right? It's always the same. Yeah. So this is somebody really ready to go to heaven.
I'm going to go out so they can see you bigger.
Yeah. So the angels are in a straight line. These are all spirits of deceased loved ones. The pet spirits are there. The parent spirits are at the person's feet. The spirit bubble is up the top of the head. By the way, on my website, AskJulieRyan.com, if you go to the 12 phases of transition page, there's a free download of a chart that details all the 12 phases together. And when somebody has a loved one at the end of their lives, I'll say, download that chart, save it on your phone. And then you just ask, what phase is my grandmother in? And you'll hear a number in your head. It's the first thing that comes in as fast as you can snap your fingers, and then you can refer to the chart. And it really helps people navigate the dying process with their loved ones, because certainly, especially in this day and age, we take time off work, sometimes travel vast distances to be with our loved ones at the end of their lives. And we're able to gauge, okay, grandma's, you know, she's gone through phase 6, 7, 8 here in about 3 hours. We need to bring the family in, and we need to allow those who want to say goodbye to come be present. And families find that so helpful.
And the way that you can tell is by this, who's already around them.
Who's around them, what the position is. So the mother spirit shows up first, then the paternal spirit, and then the mother spirit calls in angels. And these angels, Hillary, are big old angels. But I'm a Catholic girl, 12 years at Catholic school. So angels look to me like I was taught they look. Big wings, white gown, rope belt, bare feet, that kind of thing. Is that what angels really look like? Well, who knows? Somebody that grows up in an indigenous culture in the Amazon may see angel energy as just a purple blob of energy floating in the sky. We're always going to be shown spirit through our own frame of reference. That's how I was taught angels look. That's how most people in the Western world have been taught angels look. So they show up and they form a circle around the person who's dying. And then as the person gets closer to death, that circle opens up into a horseshoe and then eventually a straight line across the foot of the bed. For instance, if somebody's in a bed. A couple of interesting nuances. May I share those?
Sure. And then I want to make sure we talk about the ghosts before.
Okay. All right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So about phase 5, 6, there are two extra angels that show up, Hillary, and they're on either side of what I call the spirit bubble. And about phase 9, their wings start to move. And I saw this with my own mother. And I remember, this is the first time I'd ever seen any of this stuff. That was the first time I'd ever been around anybody who was dying. And that was in 2002.
Was that before you had studied all this?
No, I had studied a lot of it. Okay. And I was, and so I'm able to see spirits and be able to communicate with spirits. And I'm going, whoa, what is this?
Okay.
It was the first time I'd seen it in my mind's eye. So these two extra angels show up halfway through the 12 phases. And I thought, I don't know what they're going to do, but I know they're going to play an integral role in my mother's spirit's departure. So about phase 9, their wings started to move. And it was this slow rhythmic movement that reminded me of a giant owl's wings. You know, owls are silent and they kind of have this free flowing rhythm of their wings. And as these angels' wings moved, I saw a vortex forming above my mother's head. I could see it. I could feel it. I could hear it. And it reminded me of an upward pull. And it was kind of like when you're in the car wash and at the end and they turn the dryer on and it's sucking all the water off your car. That's what it reminded me of. So I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. And certainly it is what helps separate the spirit from the body. So the spirit can go to heaven and is escorted to heaven by angels. When I was writing angelic attendance, I thought, I wonder if there's any information out there. Because I thought it was interesting that something that was happening in the spirit world, I could see, I could hear, I could feel, and it had a dramatic impact on my mother's dying process. So just for kicks, I did an internet search on owl wings vortex. Come to find out, there's this phenomenon called a wingtip vortex that causes lift. It's these vortices that form underneath anything that flies, whether it be a jet, a plane, a bird, a bug, a kite. And there are these vortices that form and they cause lift. So if you do an internet search on wingtip vortex, you will find thousands of aeronautical engineering drawings, pictures, articles. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is something happening in the spirit world, and it's, you know, it's affecting us here in our human world.
Would you think without that, the wings movement, that the spirit can't get out? Do you think it needs it to come out?
Yeah, I think it's part of the dying process. It's part of the 12 phases of transition.
So
it's one of the integral pieces to help the spirit separate from the body. Wow. And so a couple of points on that. First of all, most near-death experiencers talk about going through a vortex, right? And source is
like a
black
tunnel.
Hole.
Like a tunnel.
Like a tunnel.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, regardless of culture, education level, socioeconomic level, they talk about going through a vortex or a tunnel. And a lot of them talk about a spinning, a rotation that's happening. Furthermore, when I was writing angelic attendance, I thought, okay, there's this prayer said at the end of every Roman Catholic funeral, and it's called In Paradisum, which in Latin stands for into paradise. And it talks about the angels and your loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. And, you know, I've been to a bazillion Catholic funerals. And at my mother's, I thought, oh, my word, this is what I saw with my mother. So when I was writing Angelic Attendance, again, I did some research and learned that that prayer began as a 5th century Gregorian chant. So I have to believe that perhaps people have been able to see the 12 phases of transition since the beginning of time. And certainly it took till the 5th century, perhaps till somebody was well-educated enough that they could read and write. And the most well-educated people back then were men living in monasteries and synagogues. So I got to think there's some little monk that was sitting in that monastery that wrote this prayer that's come down through the ages, and it's describing what I see in the 12 phases of transition. I thought that was remarkable.
It's also remarkable that you were selected by one of the popes and that the guy on the pulpit knew that and got that message. Do you know what I mean? When you think about it.
Yeah. Well, and now
you were in the medical field,
right?
You had been in operating rooms,
right?
I mean, you were an inventor, you were an entrepreneur, you know, like, but still, that's don't you ever say, like, why me? Why did you pick me, right? Or something.
Well, it's when I look at it that way, it's certainly very humbling. And also, I have the background to know how to get this information out. And they knew that. And that's what Pope Clement said. He said, everything you've done in your life has prepared you for this. But the interesting thing about angelic attendance is there are many churches and synagogues that give this out. Churches of all denominations give it out to families who come in to plan a funeral or families who have a loved one at the end of their lives. And I've lost count of how many hospice facilities give this out and have it in their library. And anybody that wants a free copy, just go to AskJulieRyan.com and you'll see it on the homepage, or you can go to JulieRyanGift.com and we'll send you a free digital and audiobook version. We have it in Spanish as well that we offer for free. The paperback is given out as kind of like a funeral gift by a lot of people. And I have a client that told me that she put a copy of this book in with her important papers, like her will and her living will and all of that. She said, I want my family to have this information when I die so they know what's going on. I think this stuff should be taught in the schools, which is why I give away thousands of free copies of it, because certainly we're all going to lose a loved one. And certainly we're going to be in that position at some point in our lives, and there's nothing to be afraid of.
Wow.
Maybe not today. My motto is happy, healthy, dead, but it's something that we're all going to experience. And that's what Pope Clement what he prodded me to do. And he's still around. I talk to him all the time.
Oh, is he proud of you for doing it?
I'm sure. I haven't heard that in so many words. Usually I'm consulting him on what the next adventure is on the Ask Julie Ryan front. And it's funny too, because early on, Hillary, I would argue with him as to why things couldn't be done.
Right.
And then I realized he's a spirit. He has access to universal energy. What am I doing arguing with this spirit? You know, he knows, and he's always right. So over the years, I do tease him. He's got a great sense of humor. And one time I said to him, you know, I know who you are after this, all this time. You don't have to wear the Pope hat. And he said, yeah, but it looks good, don't you think?
All right. Well, believe it or not, we have 1 minute left.
Okay.
So what would you like to say in closing? I know they can get the free book by going to JulieRyanGift.com, right?
Correct.
Just JulieRyanGift.com. Okay. What would you like to leave people with?
And just everything's available at AskJulieRyan.com. We are on all the podcast networks. We've got 5 YouTube channels in 5 different languages and 7 books and classes, online classes, in-person classes. And come join us for any and all. Call into the show if you've got a question. And you know, come join the fun. It's a blast.
So if they have like a healing question, if they have someone about to pass, like which people should be calling in?
Any and all. Anything spiritual. I'm a buffet of psychicness. And I have graduates that work with me that work with clients as well. And they're fabulous too. And they can access all of them on my AskJulieRyan.com website.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been fascinating. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for taking up the challenge from the Pope. And really, you know, it's amazing. It's really amazing. Amazing life you have there. So thanks. Thanks for living it. Yeah,
I
agree. Living your life.
Thank you for talking with me today.
It was fun. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started Getting Real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.